in, Orson. Mark calling Orson. Come in, Orson.
Hey! We're recording the podcast! Shut up!
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is a morning somewhere for April 25th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns, sitting right over there, the fifth horseman of the apocalypse, Ashley Burns. How you doing, Ash?
I've had a busy day in London, let me tell you.
Wild story of horses on the loose in London.
And what's crazy about this is I initially hear, you know, horses run amok in London, and I think, yes. Ha ha, that's yes. Very, you know, funny story.
My reaction.
How whimsical. And then the headlines are amended, blood-soaked horses cause chaos in London, four taken to a hospital, and you go, oh, that's not whimsical at all.
No, I was looking up these, this news article, because everyone was talking about it. I thought, I'll look this up. Oh, there's horses on the loose. Have you ever heard, there's a John Mulaney bit that he does about there's a horse in a hospital. Have you heard that?
I have not, no, but I bet now there's four horses in the hospital.
Yeah, and then you look it up, it's like, oh, this is going to be a hilarious story. And then I didn't even read the headline because the image is loaded immediately. And I would describe them as biblical.
Certainly concerning. And in proper narrative fashion, it's like the white horse that you can just see all this. Just, it's comically red blood.
Comically, yeah.
Well, like it doesn't seem real.
High contrast. Almost.
It's too red. It's unbelievable, except it's very, very real. Four people have been sent to the hospital. There's a photo of like a bus that just the windshield on it's shattered. I'm sure the horse got the short end of the stick on the bus or horse collision, you know, scale.
What was it? They got spooked, right?
So they were doing, I guess, a military exercise, and they got spooked. Apparently, there was some loud construction nearby, which, look, got to be honest with you, horse. Oh, me too, bud. That construction could be a bit shocking.
Should visit the Austin airport sometime. You're really pissed off.
Wow.
But, so then they got spooked. They ran through the city, and they attacked a bus at one point. They hit a bus. One of them went.
Yeah,
into the
attacked is maybe a strong word, but definitely collided with a bus.
I don't know. Maybe this is like a protest. Like, look at these buses taking our jobs. You know, it took a while for them to realize and to rise up, but here they are doing it.
Bring back carriages.
You know, it's always shocking to me that it is shocking to everyone else when a big dumb animal acts like a big dumb animal. Like, you'll walk through the city and there's a horse. In the middle of the city, you're like, oh, look at the cop on a horse, like big horse. Can I pet it? And all this stuff. It's like, and then it runs amok, and everyone's like, what a shock that right. This animal acts like an animal. I saw a clip recently of some festival in India, and there was a ton of people just packed on the streets and everything. Looked like an incredibly fun festival. And then as part of it, they just had an elephant, like fully decked out in decorations, like walking through it. And you can fill the rest of this in yourself. You know exactly what happened from there. The elephant decided, I'm going to act like an elephant today. And it hurt a lot of people, I think. And it's always shocking to me when it shocks people that happens.
And it's got to be difficult, too, because you can't expect the elephant to like try to like tiptoe through. We are, imagine like cats to us, right? We are the size of a cat to an elephant. If an entire like army of cats is crowding in on you, how are you going to navigate that with any level of grace?
Okay, here's something I've always wondered. You say like us to cats, right?
Sure.
We have a cat. We like our cat.
We do, yes.
His name is Mush. He's not around. Wherever you are, Mush, we love you. I have always wondered this because I just saw a video about this the other day. It was different fields of vision and what the different animals see. And one of them was horses, like, and it shows how there's a big gap in the middle because the horse's eyes don't completely cross over.
Probably where the bus was.
It was a moderately interesting video, but it did trigger this, and so does this discussion, this thought that I've always had, which is our cat is a cat. He has, from what I understand, perfect night vision, right? Like, they can see in the dark, and they don't see color either, right? So I've always wondered, this idiot cat, he lays in all the most random places when he sleeps every night. 9 times out of 10, he's right next to you.
He's my little spoon.
He loves to sleep next to you. Basically, he sleeps as like close to us, but as far away from me as possible. He just doesn't want to be next to me, which breaks my heart. But anyway, sometimes he just jams himself under the radiator, like in the hottest possible spot. Sometimes he's just laid out flat on the tile of the bathroom floor. I don't know why.
Taking up as much space as he can.
And so sometimes in the middle of the night, if I need to get up and go get a drink or go to the bathroom, I will be walking and he'll be there and I won't see him because it's pitch dark, and I will hit him with my foot and he freaks out. And I wonder, what does that look like to him? Like when you turn off the lights and we can't see, does he know that the lights turned off? Because he has perfect night vision. Can he tell that we are blind? Or did we suddenly just all of a sudden randomly to him like start stumbling around like we're completely blind? And what does he think about that?
Maybe he thinks we're all moon drunk. But no, I'm sure he knows that the lights have turned off, that something about the light has changed.
But Woody,
right? Like your eyes still adjust.
But
right?
We have different vision though. Like he's all black and white night vision all the time, right?
I feel like he would still know when the lights are out or when they're not out. However, I don't know that he knows that you don't have perfect night vision.
Right.
He just thinks that like night comes and out comes, was it Jekyll and Hyde?
Like he doesn't know what it's like to not be able to see in the dark. Like he doesn't understand that at all. Like to him, I'm just this person who walks by and pets him. And then every now and then I just walk towards him, kick him, and then immediately go over and go, I love you, I love you, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It's like, what the hell? Just don't kick me to begin with. From his perspective, I must seem like a goddamn lunatic.
Speaking of lunatics, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but Apple is...
Good lead-in.
They're slashing the production numbers on their Vision Pro headset, and because they're surprised... There is not as much demand as they expected for the $3,000 augmented reality headset.
My VR group, I haven't talked about them in a while, my VR group chat, they were a buzz with this news. They were upset that VR just doesn't seem to be able to take hold. And I guess it's okay to say this. It's one of those group chats, and I think a lot of group chats are like this. I don't have my alerts on for that. It's a muted group. So I will continue to get alerts. It just doesn't like ping my phone and make a racket when it happens.
So you check in on it and 350 messages later.
That's it. So I look at my phone and I have 350 alerts and I immediately thought, oh my God, what the hell happened? What? Nope. It's just a bunch of dorks talking about the Apple Vision Pro headset slash their production levels. So not shocked. How many times in our life have you seen VR kind of surface? It's going to be the next big thing, and then it's not.
So many. The first one that I remember was it was a headset in, it might have been E3 2005, possibly 2006. It was at E3 when E3 was using all three of the show halls. It was Kensha Hall. It was the one that is like
the
downstairs,
one?
The yeah. Basement one, like the smaller booths that aren't.
I would call that the bargain hall when you're yes. Getting a booth. Yeah.
There was this headset in there, and I remember playing Ghost Recon on it. And it was one of the first things of like, oh, this is very cool, but also a little bit of motion sickness going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, they tried. There have been so many since. I still think that the Oculus or the Meta Quest, as it is now, is the sort of big dog in the game, and it is doing well. It's just Apple operates on a different scale of expectation, and I'm not surprised that they would be, you know, a little bit disappointed by the numbers. This article,
there's a lot of really rough tech news out there right now. I mean, if you consider Tesla to be tech, which I kind of do, they reported a huge drop in profits, in addition to Apple reporting that the Apple Vision Pro was well below expectations. Like they were using very harsh language to talk about how poorly demand is going for this product. They also at the same time talked about a huge drop in demand for iPhones in China as well. So there's not a lot of huge, like great consumer news right now for tech.
Yeah, it is interesting though, because the Vision Pro, it pre-ordered very well. Remember they
makes
didn't,
sense.
They
it's,
didn't
it's
have
early
a
adopters.
Lot. Yeah, they didn't have a lot of launch units available because they. This article article from TechSpot says after between 160 and 180,000 devices were sold in pre-orders across a weekend in January ahead of the official launch, reports claim Apple stores are now selling just a handful of units per week, which, yeah, you're right, early adopters. And the thing is, I'm one of the people not buying it, one, because it's incredibly expensive for what it is, but two, because I know that in two generations, it's going to be so much better.
Yeah, but you got to jump in at some point. I get what you're saying, though. But it, yeah, it would suck to buy it, and then it's immediately better, you know?
Right. I mean, this is like, for me, this is a car.
What's a product you bought that was like that? You bought it, and then it, almost immediately there was a better version of it that came out.
Oh, so many things. I remember having one of those, what was it, the flip cameras?
Yeah.
They're almost like... vlogging before vlogging, like, oh, you can take videos wherever you are. It's just a cool little camera. And then, you know, just the quality. It was like early digital cameras, right, where the resolution is just so terrible that you can't even look at it now.
Yeah, it's just like muddy. It's like you're looking at everything through an aquarium, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah. And just to back up what I was saying earlier, Mac Rumors just recently reported this, which it sounds like a not reliable site. I actually find Mac Rumors to be a very reliable site. Talking about, in contrast to the growing smartphone market in China, in contrast, Apple saw its smartphone sales in China plummet by 19.1% year over year in the same quarter for Q1.
Yeah. That is a huge year over year.
Yeah. Drop. So there's not right now a lot of tech news. And just the other day, I was talking to you very like anecdotally at the end of the podcast. I threw out this question, what's the over under on when you and I will have a bipedal robot in our house. And there was a lot of discussion in our subreddit about how far we are away from like robot butlers who take care of all of our needs. I'm just curious, like as early adopters, you know, first of all, anyone can see the incredible source of content a robot in our house would be for complaining about tech. That would be incredible if we were early adopters for that. But
it's an investment in our future.
But I do believe that I think robots are going to be the next big category of consumer electronic products. I really do. I can't think of anything else that's going to be close to that.
It's going to be one of those things, though.
Nobody
has
one.
Where, like, for a while, it's going to be a very expensive toy that doesn't really do anything. Apparently, I didn't know this, but that robot dog. Apparently, they like you can technically buy one.
Oh, the Sony one, the Abo or whatever it was. But you're talking about the Boston Dynamics,
yeah, something like that. And they're
the thing that opens doors on its own and walks in and scares the shit out of you when you watch videos about it. Yeah, yeah, you can buy that thing. Apparently,
but it's, you know, and it's incredibly expensive. And my number one question is, but why? And it's, the answer is, because then I've got a robot dog. I remember in the very early aughts there was a toy, and it was. But it was not a toy. It was like a toy dinosaur. But the idea was like it was a dinosaur robot, and it was going to be like the first dinosaur robot pet. It was going to be super duper cool. And it did like nothing. And it was so expensive. So expensive. I'll look this up and see if I can find it.
Here's according to Popular Mechanics. This is from an article dated from 2020. You can finally buy the internet's favorite robot dog for $74,500. That price has
bargain.
That price has probably changed quite a bit, though, I would think, if it's still even on the market. But yeah, you could buy that robot dog from Boston Dynamics. It's funny that we don't know what the name of that is. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sure somebody knows
Spot
what that is. Yeah. But you're talking about something being really expensive. Nobody has one. In my lifetime, mobile phones were that. Anybody who had a, what we called back then, a car phone, if you had a car phone, you were wildly rich. Only the richest people had car phones. And do you remember how you could tell if a car had a car phone?
How? Antenna?
Yeah, but do you remember what the shape of the antenna was?
No.
It was like a boomerang-shaped antenna.
Oh, that's right.
And didn't like Crocodile Dundee like take one and like stop a robber with a, we like pulled it off and threw it at the guy?
Sounds familiar.
And now people would understand like, why was that on the back of the car? Yeah, but it was, you know, it was only for like the upper echelons of wealthy people would have a car phone. And now it's like, I mean, that was in the mid-80s. And then by the mid-90s, everyone's walking around with a way better version of that in their pocket. You know, it didn't take that long for it to reach the population, the general population, I should say. And there's lots of articles. We'll link one in the link dump. But from Business Insider, China is ramping up to produce robots. Like, I think they agree, too, that it is the next big unrealized consumer electronics product.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
But for those wanting to step back in time instead of forward in time, I have great news. I don't know if you've seen this yet, Bernie, but PBS is launching a classic TV channel. It's on Roku, which I don't think we've got Roku, but maybe we'll get it for this because they're gonna have a bunch of like classic series, like 70s, 80s, 90s. So they're gonna have like Thomas and Friends and like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Aren't those things everywhere now anyway, though? Yeah.
I mean, I like to think that it'll be just you can't pause it. It's going to have like a bunch. I would love to see a bunch of like weird classic ads that make no sense anymore.
I would love if it was retro and it went off the air every day at like 11:30 p.m.
Right. And it's like you tune in and it's just fuzz now.
Sorry, you're up at 2 a.m. No Mr. Rogers for you, buddy.
Yeah.
So what are the programs they've got on this? Like Mary Tyler Moore, I Love Lucy, like that kind of thing?
I suspect it'll need to ramp up, but some of the highlights are Kratz Creatures, Thomas and Friends, Zoboomafu, which I'm not familiar with, Reading Rainbow, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I want to see, this is just my personal wish list, I want to see Sesame Street, I want to see Pound Puppies, I want to see The Popples.
3-2-1 Contact?
I want to see the original My Little Pony. I'm basically just
Popples?
Going down.
Tell me what Popples is.
Do you ever watch The Popples?
No.
Bro. It was a show that I that I watched when I was a little kid, and their Popples, it was kind of a... They were these little creatures, but they could like they had a pouch that they could be inside their own pouch, and they would like hop around, and then they would like pop out of their pouch.
Sounds like a toy, marketing for a toy. Was there a like a plush version of this thing?
You know it.
Oh, of course there
you
was.
You know it. Let's
probably
get some,
a breakfast cereal too.
Let's get some classic Care Bears going on.
I saw a kid the other day doing something that was like to me like straight out of my own childhood. We got him up for school. He's so tired. He eats cereal, which I love because Teddy and JD never ate cold cereal with milk, like just cereal. They never did it.
A breakfast staple.
They never took to it. To me, that was always such a kid thing. And they just never did it. But Finn eats cereal. And the other day he was like, eyes barely open, eating cereal. And he had the box of cereal looking at the back of it, like reading the back of the cereal box. Man, I remember that as a kid, like with no internet, I would just read this cereal
over
box.
And over and over. And you would do like they had the activities like, can you find all the things? And you would like pretend that you didn't know where all of them were because you have to look at this box, the back of this box, until this box is empty. You're going to see it a couple of times and you're going to go through the activities and you're going to know everything. But
you'll never know when you find something new.
For the sake of your fun, you got to pretend that you don't know where the things are and you're going to solve it all again.
Hey, this was another thing, too, that's been lost to time, but we're talking about old stuff now. When exactly did they stop putting prizes in cereal boxes? Was that a thing you remembered as a kid?
Oh, all the time. And to the point where people would open the box and like dig down and find and find the prize first. I think it still exists, but definitely in a reduced degree. Like
yeah.
It used to be like you would buy a lot of times the cereal for the toy and then you would just eat the cereal because, well, now you have a box of cereal and you can't get the new box of cereal until you finished this one. And so you'd eat like three bowls to try and get through it to get the next box with a toy in it. You know what? Now I can see why they wouldn't
exactly.
be allowed to do that anymore.
But it makes me wonder too. It's like, because we were talking at one point, maybe it was on one of the test shows, we were talking about the whistle, the Captain Crunch whistle that they used to hack the telephone network. And it was just like, when did that phase out? Like, when did that go away? And it's something that I know definitely happened, and I can't tell you when it happened. And it's interesting to me because the toy that came in a box of cereal was always a very big deal to me. Always a big deal. And now it's like the kids don't have that today. They just have, what, Kinder Eggs is the closest thing they have to it.
Right, where it's like you know, you get the chocolate, open up, there's a prize. Because the chocolate wasn't enough of a toy.
Here's what we'll do. We'll dump a bunch of Legos in a cereal box and watch this retro television show and relive our childhood. How's that sound?
Yeah, well, a quick internet search seems to indicate that choking hazards of toys and just waste and cost cutting are the main factors for the reduction of toys in cereals.
I get it, and I want less plastic crap in the world, but choking hazard, it was like in a pouch separate from all the other things. Like, are you going to mistake it for a Rice Krispie? It's like... oh, wow, there's a helicopter-shaped marshmallow that's all painted. What a shock. What a shock. I mean, what's next? Are they going to get rid of the plastic bag, too? Because you might eat that by accident.
Look, who knows? Don't underestimate kids.
I also, by the way, I think you could tell a lot about the people you live with in your house by the way that they open cereal boxes and the bags inside of cereal boxes. Some lunatics will cut the bag with a pair of scissors. My brother, whenever we were growing up, if he opened the box of cereal, it was like it was attacked by rats. It always looked like that. It's like, how, just take the time and do it right. You know, we got to live with this thing for like a month or at least a few weeks. Don't tear it apart like a fucking lunatic, you know?
Sure. On the flip side, I can understand some people cutting the box of cereal or cutting the bag because some of them, for some ungodly reason, were secured.
Welded
like they
shut.
they were glued shut so hard. I feel like someone in manufacturing was like, fuck those kids.
They got out the welder that day. The arc welder and just closed it shut. All right. Well, that does it for us today. I think a good thing to do, Ash, would be to make a poll to ask people what is the retro television show that they miss the most. And we would love to hear what yours is.
And why is it the Popples?
And why isn't it the Popples or the Munchie Cheese?
You know, well, what though? I truly do miss Capers. Oh, another one. I'm going to throw Rainbow Bright on there. Let's get some classic Rainbow Bright going on and some Strawberry Shortcake while we're at it.
All right. I have to mention a cartoon that I watched as a kid now while we're doing this, because we also should thank a couple of our Patreon sponsors here. But there was the Real Ghostbusters, which is now the inspiration for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. The auteurs of that movie have said they were inspired by the 80s cartoon The Real Ghostbusters. The reason why The Real Ghostbusters is called The Real Ghostbusters is because after Ghostbusters the movie became popular, somebody discovered that there was a 1950s show, a retro television show called Ghostbusters, that had like two guys and a dude in a gorilla costume.
Of course it did.
And so in order to kind of latch on to the success of Ghostbusters, they put out this cartoon because it was an IP that existed and they could do it without getting sued. And all the kids were like, the fuck is this cartoon show with a gorilla in it? And so they put out The Real Ghostbusters, because implying that the later one, the 80s one, was the real one, and that's what you're looking for. And it was a great cartoon, actually.
I would like to thank, before we go, our sponsors for today's episode of Morning Somewhere, Pablo P. and Hayden. Thank you both for sponsoring this episode of our show.
And that does it for us today. If you want to support our Patreon, please visit patreon.com/morningsomewhere. We will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.